You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practices Show, where we take a look at the best business practices from the best dental practices all over the world. And I have got one of the biggest superstars in all of dentistry today, good friend of mine, and he is truly one of the best influencers of the future of dentistry. And he's going to be talking about 21st century dentistry and how we can completely reinvent ourselves, Dr. Christian Coachman. So do me a favor, grab a pen and hit the share button. You're not going to want to miss this. We'll see you in a second.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show. Thank you so much for watching, and you are going to love this. I have one of the best influencers, biggest influencers in all of dentistry, Dr. Christian Coachman. Now, before I get him to speak, I'm going to talk about this because I've known you for a while. You and I have been at the Seattle Study Club Symposium together. I've watched you for so long. You're one of those people that's everywhere. I mean, all over the place, and you're speaking at some of the greatest meetings, and you're an incredible educator. On top of it, you've got an amazing family. You're unbelievable in just all the places that you're at on social media. I don't know how you do it. And I said before this, I'm going to be your apprentice for a while. I'm going to follow you and see how you do it. And I am just so grateful you're on. So now if somebody's watching this, Christian, and they don't know who you are, who is Dr. Christian Coachman?
First of all, thank you so much for the invitation. I'm sure we're going to have some fun here in the next minutes and this next hour. It's a great pleasure to participate. It's a great initiative. I'm really a fan of this, what you're doing. I watched previous shows with cool guys that you've been interviewing. So it's a great honor to be part of it. Quick intro. I'm Christian and I'm from São Paulo, Brazil. I come from a family, several generations of dentists. I'm also a technician, more than anything nowadays, a smile designer and creator, developer of DSD, and now traveling the whole world, spreading the word of digital and emotional interdisciplinary dentistry. That's it.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot more to it than that because you're a pretty humble guy. So I'm just going to say this because when I get a chance to speak somewhere, a lot of times I'll go and people are like, Coachman was here last week. He is unbelievable. Like, I've got to up my game. And he totally changed the way I think about dentistry in the future. And you're incredibly gifted, not only in how you communicate, but the whole digital smile design movement thing. Can you describe what that is and why you're so passionate about it?
Digital smile design, it started as a simple technical tool. Me as a technician, even though, you know, I'm a dentist, I always worked my whole life as a technician. So my goal was to improve my work, to create a better effect in the work of my dentist, my client. And I saw many issues that were happening in the communication between dentists and technician, but also in the communication between the patient's face and our working model. Also problems related to team communication. Also problems related between the communication between the dentist and the patient. So I realized that was all about communication. Communication was the key for more success. So DSD is basically a bunch of communication protocols. From marketing perspective, business perspective, clinical perspective, patient perspective, technical perspective, creating better solutions to allow people to be more efficient, have less stress, be more effective in their work less, profit more, have happier patients, and be able to have a more successful business. Yeah.
Yeah. And let's talk about why that's so important, because you made me watch this video. It's called The Power of a Smile. And you said, you got to watch. So I watched it. And it's phenomenal. Now, talk about the power of that video. It's a TED Talk, correct?
Yes. This was a TED Talk I watched several years ago. Unfortunately, I don't even remember who referred to me or if I just found it online. But it's just an unbelievable TED Talk that opened my eyes to see that dentistry goes way beyond just fixing teeth. You know, we have an impact in people's systemic health, in people's life, in people's personal relationships. Because I believe that having a confident smile is one of the most important things in life. I'm not talking about perfect smiles. I'm talking about confident smiles. Very, very different. If you smile with confidence and you have a healthy oral environment, there's no reason why we should change your smile. And this is a problem nowadays. You know, people want to just make perfect smiles all over. I think we need to understand how to design confident smiles.
And that's hugely important to not only their well-being, but the overall impact on their lives. And that's huge. And you consider this a movement. Describe the difference between an effort and a movement, because that's a huge difference.
That's amazing. We could never expect what would happen with the DSD community worldwide 10 years ago when we started. As I said, it started with some simple techniques, and then people started to ask me to share them. And it became really like a philosophy, you know, of working. It's a whole philosophy of how to change the way general public perceives dentistry. We need to change completely the way people value their dentist, the way people value the dental work that is done. But we cannot blame people for not valuing that. You know, it's our fault. We never put effort on creating this cooler image of what we do. You know, we were always so focused on studying more, being a better clinician, being more precise, doing better technical procedures, but we never really thought about how could we change the experience of the patient when they walk into our office as a whole. You know, thinking like an owner of a 6-star hotel or a super high-end spa or anywhere that you go that you just feel like, I want to stay here. I don't want to go anywhere else. This is just unbelievable. This is amazing. This is the feeling that a DSD clinic should give to their clients.
Right. Now, you get a chance to speak all over the world and meet with dentists. Let's say I'm a 32-year-old dentist and I'm watching this and I go, Dr. Coachman, I would love that. What are some of the challenges that you see with young clinicians that are trying to do this? And what are some of the things that you would recommend where they start?
That's a great question. The nice thing is that what I see is that all the principles that we've been developing with DSD, younger guys, they understand much faster. They embrace that much faster. You know, all the millennials, all these people, they see what I'm saying and they say, that's it. I got it. And everything that we are teaching is not like depending on financial investment. It's an attitude, it's a desire, it's a expression. It's creating this new vibe around what you do, creating this new speech. So it's not theoretically, some people say, no, DSD is expensive or DSD is for high-end dentists. No, there's nothing to do with that. It's about how do you build a strategy to create an experience for your patient. So what I see is that older dentists, they have more difficulty getting away from their comfort zone, mainly because they already have something that is working fine for them. So I see a big opportunity for younger dentists because the paradigm shift is happening right now, not only with this new experience, but also with digital technology in dentistry. Everything that we've been teaching and speaking is new now, And we have the early adopters, and these guys will explode because it's not easy to go away from your comfort zone and make the effort of going through the learning curve of implementing simple things, you know, convincing your staff that this is the new way to do things, you know, that's also very challenging. So we see that this gap, this window of opportunities will happen on the next 3-5 years. You know, whatever we are saying in terms of strategies, marketing, business, and technological strategies in 5, 6, 7 years will be common. Everybody's going to be doing it, because otherwise you're going to be out of the market. You're going to be out of business if you don't do these things in 7 years, probably. So the opportunity is now. If you start doing this now, patients will understand the difference because it goes straight to what they want from us, and they will value this difference.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you and I have chatted about this. We were talking before we got started, the emotional dentistry concept. Mm-hmm. And there are two very important things that a young clinician in this opportunity has to establish with the patient. What are those two things? Because you can have one without the other, correct?
Yeah. This is something that I always mention to start our courses, you know. We can be spending the 4 days of the course here talking about technical solutions and clinical solutions, but there's one thing that needs to come first. You need to have the client walking into your office, and even more important, you need to have that person saying yes to your product, meaning that a patient will only say yes to a dentist if we are able to create two things: if they can like us and if they can trust us. And this magic needs to happen in a first appointment interaction that is usually on a chat and a conversation that takes less than 15 minutes.
Right.
So the magic is how to make somebody that is you're just about to meet or you're just knowing right now, how can this person start to like you and start to trust you in these magical 15 minutes. So we need to stop and think about it, because we are not trained for this. People don't give us information on this, but our whole life and our whole business relies on these 10, 15 minutes to make this magic happen.
Right. And you mentioned the need or the necessity to have somebody, either you or somebody on your team, be a great communicator. I mean, they really have to create an intimacy with the patient, because if they can trust you, but if they don't like you, the formula doesn't work.
Yeah. You know, as you said, you need both trust and empathy. You know, if they like you, they want to hang out with you at the bar, but they don't want to open their mouth to you.
Right.
If they only like you, if they only trust you, it's also not enough, because emotionally, unconsciously, people don't want to go to doctors that they don't like.
Right.
So it has to be the combination. And the main thing to make this happen in this first appointment is to have skills that go beyond dentistry. It's all about communication. As I mentioned to you, the most successful dentists that I know are not necessarily the best dentists that I know. There's one thing in common on every successful dentist that I met in my career. They are great communicators. Every very successful dentist is a great communicator, naturally, as a gift, or because they practice that, you know. That's why I see people like Chris Ramsey speaking about body language and charisma. It's all about this, you know. A guy like Chris Ramsey, how can he not be successful, you know? You can imagine somebody like John Coyes interacting with the patient on first appointment. Just unbelievable. The guy is just pure charisma. Great conversation, very good educator. These people, they will be successful, you know?
Right.
So it's all about communication. And for me, as a technician, my dream was always to understand these set of skills and toolbox to be able to help my very good clinicians to become more successful and kind of save the patients from the bad dentists, the bullshitters, you know? Mm-hmm. Take these patients, save them from these bad dentists and bring them to the good clinicians. And I realized that investing more and more time on being an even better clinician was not making the difference, because the patients cannot understand what's going on, you know? So I realized that we needed to focus on other skills and other strategies to make the patient say, wow, you are an amazing dentist. I want to be here with you forever. This is what we call emotional dentistry, the emotional dentistry strategy. Yeah.
Now, one of the things, you're in the Guinness Book of World Records, right? Okay,
that's
what are
true.
You in the Guinness Book of World Records for? Because I got to ask that question. People don't know
That's a super cool story, and it's of course a great honor to talk about it. You know, we are very proud of this tradition in our family. We are in the Guinness Book as the longest nonstop sequence of generations in dentistry. So it's six generations. So it's basically me, my brother, my sister-in-law, then my father and his brother, then my grandfather and two brothers, then my great-grandfather and two or three brothers, then my great-great-grandfather and a couple brothers as well, and then brothers-in-law, and then my great-great-great-grandfather, the first one that was actually a physician and then became a dentist on 1848. So the story started in 1848, and since then is nonstop till today. So yeah. Six generations. We have a bunch of kids, me, my brothers. I hope one of them will follow. No yeah. pressure, but right. We hope that somebody will follow this storyline. Of course, there's a beautiful connection between Brazil and U.S. on this story. I don't know if you have a couple more minutes, I can
explain. Absolutely. Please tell us. Yeah.
Actually, what is interesting first, that all the generations, they were always pioneers. And we have even articles from my great-great-great-grandfather. He was part of the founders of the first dental association in U.S. The first magazine as well was Dental Cosmos. This is 1800s. But one of the first associations was Dental Association from Alabama. I don't know why Alabama. They came from the border. They actually came from the coachmen. They came from England on the 1600s to Central America. They were kind of pirates and plantations on cotton, and then U.S. on the 1700s, farms on the South Alabama and Georgia border. But the interesting thing is that the first one was a physician and then a dentist at the Confederate Army. And with my great-great, two generations, they fought the Civil War completely from A to Z. So they are among the few guys that didn't die in the war, because it was the worst war in history of the humankind. There's no other war where people died the most like the Civil War in U.S. And very few actually that started day one survived to the last day. My great-great-great was the physician, and my great-great was a young kid, 18 years old. He was the little kids carrying the flag, you know?
You are
with no guns and all the bullets coming out.
Wow.
And they survived. Of course, the war was over and the South was devastated. They didn't have anything left. So the king of Brazil at that time was inviting professionals from all over the world to come to Brazil, trying to make Brazil a serious country. So there was engineers from France, physicians from Germany or whatever, and a group of 23 dentists from U.S., among them my great-great-great and my great-great. So they came to Brazil. Wow. 1868, around a month by the water by ship. They arrived in Rio at that time, and they became very well known in Rio as the family of dentists. They became the dentists of the royal family, friends with the king of Brazil. But then there was no dental school in Brazil, so the third generation, the guy had to go back to Brazil, to U.S., to UPenn, to become a dentist there, back to Brazil again to continue the tradition. And that goes on and on until my father and myself. And just to finish the story, the nice thing was when in 2004, I was invited by Goldstein and Garber and Salama to go work with them. And I didn't know the whole story of this family, the whole tradition story. That's when my father told me the whole story. And he was even kind of emotional telling me the story in details and saying, look, in 1868, our family came from U.S., from the border of Georgia, as dentists to Brazil. In 2004, you're coming back and moving to U.S. as a dentist to the same area, to Georgia. They were actually, we have a book talking about the story. They came from the city near Atlanta, and I was flying back to Atlanta to the same area, kind of crazy. So that was a big emotional moment for me to know that I was closing this cycle, going to the same area. And because of dentistry, they moved to Brazil. And because of dentistry, I moved to U.S. So.
Wow. I never knew that part of that. That is fascinating. So what happened after that? So you were there in 2004. And then where did your journey go after that?
I was there with Team Atlanta for 5 years, 2004, 2009. Amazing experience. That's
right.
When my lecturing career really exploded. Some topics, some concepts that we developed there became very well known and became my main topics at the time, and I started to get invitations to lecture. In 2008, I started to work with some amazing European professionals, and I became like a gypsy technician, a gypsy ceramist. So I would do, 1 month I would travel different offices, and my lab was just a little suitcase and everything I would carry. And I would just spend like 1 or 2 weeks on each office and do a bunch of cases. Unbelievable learning experience, because I was working just with some of the best, you know, from Eric Van Duren in Antwerp, Belgium, Mauro Fradiani in Pesaro, Italy, Galip Gurel in Istanbul, Nitzan Bicciaccio in Tel Aviv, the Ricci's in Florence, among others. So I would stay in each office a couple of days and finish a bunch of cases and take with me the next cases to the next stop, you know. So this was from 2008 to 2012. 13 when DSD exploded, and then everything changed. Yeah,
that is quite the resume. I mean, and what an amazing experience for you. You know, that first stop in Atlanta, those guys are amazing, like unbelievable. I'm sure you learned some very profound lessons as you went from one master clinician to the next. Like, what was one of the things that you learned for sure watching the master clinicians that you saw from city to city?
Each one, well, the beauty was to see high-end professionals in action and actually see that I was adding to their work and interacting, learning with each other. Each one has their had their own style, and I was already starting with the DSD concept. So for me, it was always very interesting to see and analyze each professional from two aspects, the clinical aspect and the business aspect and the patient interaction aspect. So I always enjoyed a lot stepping back in the clinical room and watch the dentist communicating with the patient and see how they were speaking with the patient, see how they were handling stressful moments, how they were persuading, bringing the patient back on board, you know, how they were handling patients that were skeptical, how they were handling patients that really were not on board. So it was very, very interesting to see different styles of personal communication strategies. And of course, then on the clinical side, really interact and learn from them. You know, from Team Atlanta, of course, they are pioneers on interdisciplinary dentistry, interdisciplinary approach. So for me, it was great to be able to learn a little bit of how ortho interacts with restorative, how perio interacts with restorative, and how you can put all these pieces together. And of course, how to start an international career as a speaker, you know, so that I learned a lot from them as well. Yeah.
Yeah. You got a great opportunity to do all that. And then when you settled on DSD, now, where do you do all of this? Like, how did the DSD concept come to life? And are you doing them in the United States? Are you doing them online? Like, how does that all work? Because there are some people, and even myself, I'm not quite sure how it all works.
That's the beauty of a modern business that was born online through social medias and grows online. So it's hard to define. It's like a dynamic movement, you know, it's like a dynamic community. Of course, we have our courses, but nowadays we have an amazing community. So there is a process that people go through by going online and watching the content that we give online, and then participating in one of our intro courses that we call the DSD Day Experience. Also participating in the courses from our team of DSD instructors, and then being ready to jump into the main program that is what we call the DSD residency that happens only on our centers in São Paulo, Madrid. We do it at NYU and at the COI Center, only these four places. Okay. So it's basically two modules of 4 days. They do the first module in any of these four cities, and module two is only in Brazil. So they get to experience Brazil, experience São Paulo, and because the second course is completely clinical, so we need to treat the patients live. So and people will then become DSD members, DSD masters, then DSD instructors, then DSD KOLs, then DSD clinics. So there's a step-by-step that people grow. And of course, everything is promoted. We don't do anything besides social media. Everything is on social media. So that's the way everything moves forward. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't open up a stream without seeing you either on Instagram or whatever. Now, you're a pioneer in also how adults learn, because you really study how, because you get to see these dentists not once, but you see them come back and you see them try these things. And so as a young dentist, you don't just go to a course and do it once. It's got to be a certain layering of all of your learning. You try this, you go back and you implement it. What are some of the biggest things that you see as some of your students that do the best? What's a commonality?
First, now to be exposed, even if the message is very clear, and we see that that was a interesting with the outcome. So we started to do some research, and we had a very good number. Like people would come to our courses, and 95% of them were super excited at the last day with the course, you know. So we were very proud and we thought everything was under control. But then we realized we needed to do some more research. What really matters is not if you're happy at the end of the course, is what do you do with that information? So we started to understand that after 6 months after the course, only 5% of the people were actually doing something with the information that we were sharing. Wow. That was a big thing for me, realizing that if you want to be a real teacher, you need to really think about the strategies to change people's life and make people actually use the information that you're sharing. It's not only about showing off on stage, you know. This is what real teachers do. They really want their pupils, their students to become better than him and to succeed with that information. So we realized we needed to start different strategies on a post-course experience. That's why we started with DSD Online consultancy. We started with live consultancy. We started with the DSD clinic process of implementation, helping the dentist to train their staff and to really convince people that that's the way to go. We realized that people will only make the change after several exposures, you know. So we see that the ones that are actually doing something, they saw the course maybe 3 or 4 times. They are coming back and really investing time and energy on this learning curve. The message is so simple, but the implementation is not that simple. You need to digest. You need to go back. You need to become this new communicator. You need, the same way I convince people in my course that this is the way to go, the dentist needs to go back to his office and become like me at that moment and convince his staff and make everybody there fall in love with this. Because I usually say, you know, you own your office, but you're not the boss. Mm-hmm. Who actually rules your office are your staff members. They will come, you know, Monday morning, the dentist is coming back from our course or from an amazing Seattle Study Club experience, and they're super excited. And I call it the Monday morning syndrome post Congress. They come super excited. They put their staff together and they say, this is what we're going to do. This, and this is amazing. And the younger member is like freaking out, saying, what? Oh my God, too much changes. What am I going to do? You know, I was just learning this now and I need to learn that. And the most experienced staff member will say, don't worry. This is post conference syndrome. Mm-hmm. In 1 week, the dentist will forget everything and we're going to go back exactly the way we used to do things. So this syndrome was my thing. I needed to change this syndrome and make it become a reality in their office. So yes, implementation is the key, and you need to create strategies for implementation. Yeah,
absolutely. And I've talked to so many people about this, and Christian, you've seen this too. Sometimes the hardest thing is not getting new ideas in, it's getting the old ideas out. Because you said the magic phrase, well, that's the way we've always done it. And even in great change processes like AA, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous, they know that, hey, look, we can usually rehabilitate somebody, but a lot of times they go back to an environment that's intoxicated. So the important thing is to have a strategy and a regular system where you're just, you know, you're learning this stuff and again, put in place.
And you have to start with small steps. You know, we know that in the course, we build the whole dental business from A to Z and people get completely dizzy with so much information. So you need to start with small steps, you know, step by step, baby steps. And the first thing is to look at your first appointment and look at that first experience and see how you can change that. And we give some very simple tips on how you can change that first appointment experience just by the way your office looks, for example. People hate going to dentists. So The first thing I tell people, everybody hates us. You know, even my best friends, they say, Christian, I like you very much, but I hate going to dentists. When people think about dentistry, they think about everything that is bad. You know, it's painful, it's blood, it's surgery, it's a bunch of stuff in my mouth. It's a waste of time and a waste of money. So it's everything bad. And dentists are not cool at all. And people even make fun of dentists. You know, it's funny, but behind every joke, there's a little bit of reality. You know, the movie, I always mention the movie Hangover, the most stupid guy, it was the dentist. You know, if somebody is not feeling good, we need a doctor. He says, I'm a doctor. I said, no, you're not a doctor. You're just a dentist, you know. And I'm looking at that joke and say, yeah, that's the way people see dentists, you know. But people don't realize that we have so much power in our hands to change people's life. We are just very bad to sell this idea, to express this, you know. So we need to understand that people, the way it is right now, people don't like going to dentists. And there's no reason, for example, for a dental office to look like a dental office. Why a dental office looks like a dental office? And in US is amazing because every dental office looks like a dental office.
Why is that?
You can take the sign out of the door. You walk in, you say, this is a dental office. You know, it smells like a dental office. It looks boring like a dental office. People look boring like in dental office generally. You know, it doesn't make sense. Now, if you think a little bit about it, if you talk to a friend that is an architect, you say, can you give me 3 tips that I can, without any investment, change the environment and make this look like something extremely cool that doesn't look like a dental office? The architect will say, yeah, that's easy. I can give you 2-3 tips, you know? So it's just a matter of thinking outside the box. You know, the problem is that in dentistry, people are in the comfort zone because they're doing okay business-wise. You know, they make okay money, but we are in a very dangerous moment. Business is changing drastically, and it's going to be scary in the near future to see how corporations are taking over dentistry. And those dentists that think they're cool and they're going to be doing fine until they retire, they will not. And we need to be aware of that, and we need to prepare ourselves for this transition.
Right. And being young, if you're young and you're watching this, because we joke about this all the time, if you're a 30-year-old dentist, there's a good chance you could practice for 4 more decades or even 5 more decades, because people are going to be living longer than our generation. Or you're like 20 years younger than me. So you just look so young. I just,
not that young.
Good looking. That's not fair. You know what I mean? So it is important. And I think this is the opportunity. You and I talked about this beforehand, is the fear thing just controls so many dentists, and you just don't think like that. I mean, there's so much opportunity for a young dentist to do extraordinarily well with the road ahead.
I'm completely sure about that. I can tell you, if I compare 2 examples, let's say a 45-year-old dentist that is already on a very good position, going to attending good meetings, knowing good people, having a decent life and income. And we compare to a 30-year-old that just came out of school and is watching everything. And suddenly you see that the 30-year-old is much more open to all these things that we are talking about. I would bet much more on this 27, 30-year-old guy business-wise than on this 45-year-old guy that is already there thinking that he's going to be there for the next 10 years, 15 years. I'm really afraid about the position that this guy is going to go through on the next decade. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, and you mentioned it before, I've heard this said by so many masters, your ability to communicate will determine how far you go in dentistry. It'll determine how good your dentistry becomes, how better your business becomes, and really how the end game is joy. Like, the more joy you look back, and obviously your family has done something extraordinarily well to have that many people be dentists. There's got to be a secret in there. And you and I are going to do another one on the secret to have that many. Well, because you see this too, you see dentists, you know, you see children of dentists that say, I'm not doing dentistry. I watched my mother or my father do dentistry, and they would come home and they'd be miserable. And I was like, I'm not doing that. And it's not dentistry. It's how it's set up.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure you guys, any secrets that your family has that no other family has?
First of all, I believe that it's different now, but the generations before, the dentistry was a family business. And so it's a completely different reality. You know, in Brazil, at least, you have many, many dentists that their parents were dentists and even their grandfather were dentists. So this is very strong in dentistry. Even in the U.S., you see what you're saying is much more common nowadays, you know, because people see there's this situation. Dentistry is known as one of the most stressful professions on earth. You know, we know that to have a good life being a dentist, you need to be passionate. Otherwise, you're going to be miserable, you know. So I think that that passion is easier to transfer to your son, you know. So when they see that passion, they get involved. So this is maybe a reason. Every good dentist is passionate. It's crazy about what he does, you know. We see that we are crazy about dentistry, you know. If we meet another dentist, there's only one topic, that's dentistry. We're not going to talk about anything else. So this passion is very, very strong in good dentists. That's why for me, when I mentioned that I wanted to save the patients from the bullshitters and bring them to the good dentist, I really wish that, you know, we could develop a little tool to give to our patients. I call it the passion measuring device, you know. That you can imagine if the patient could walk into an office and stick this device into the dentist's chest and have a graphic saying green is great passion, red is horrible passion, yellow is okay passion. So he could look and say, okay, you have a yellow passion. You're okay. You're not that passionate about what you do, because when you're passionate in dentistry, you're going to treat patients the best way you can, you know. Right. And dentistry, it's impossible for the patient to evaluate the treatment. And most of the things we do are irreversible. So the trust needs to be huge. So I always think about this passion measuring device, you know. I want to develop that, you know. If people could stick this into you and say, you have a lot of passion. I want to be with you. And this is what a good communication does, you know. If you're a good communicator, you transfer passion. And that's what I tell people on a first appointment. Don't talk about dentistry. Don't talk about boring procedures. Somehow in an elegant, ethical way, try to transfer the passion that you have for what you do. And if you can transfer this message, it's a win-win situation. Yeah.
Well, it transforms everybody around you, the patient, yourself, your team, everybody that touches your business. What an incredible opportunity. If you designed the passion meter, I'm going to sell it for you, because I'm going to use it at restaurants.
Even for you, I could sell it, test it on you. You know, I can see the passion coming from you. So, but the key is that actually everybody has this passion meter inside us.
Right.
We just sometimes we are blind, you know. We are walking on the street and we see a street musician playing, and we can in 5 seconds detect if that musician is playing with passion or he's just there to get some dollars, you know. Right. So we can identify passion very well. And there's a certain circuit in our brain that when we look at somebody and we see that that person is doing something with passion, regardless the actual quality of their work, we will automatically think that they do great work. So transmitting passion is the key to make people trust you.
Dentistry is the number one profession in the United States. And a young clinician might be watching this and saying, Dr. Coachman, I totally understand that, but like, it's just hard for you. What gets in the way for a lot of the dentists that you see, not only in the US, but all over the world, from them? Because most people want to do great things in dentistry. Nobody goes into this and says, yeah, I just want to make some money. Do you know what I mean? Or at least the people that you get exposed to. What gets in the way of the passion?
That's a good question. You know, what gets in the way of the passion? You see that the routine, it's a problem, you know. That's why we need to reinvent ourselves constantly. We need to be open to these things, you know. Otherwise, we're not going to keep that passion going. Teaching and lecturing is also something that dentists should be doing just to share knowledge, not for financial interest. I have many colleagues that they say, you know, the last 5 years I've been in my office every single day. Can I start speaking and lecturing a little bit just to get out of this routine? So being able to lecture for free, it's an amazing thing. First of all, because we think we know this topic and we think we are good. We only know how much we don't know is when we decide I'm going to teach this topic. Okay.
Right.
So when we say I'm very good with bleaching, I'm going to put a lecture on bleaching. And then we say, oh my God, I'm realizing I don't know that much to actually give a lecture about this. So lecturing, even for free, makes you first understand that you can always improve your knowledge, go after new information. First, it gives you an amazing feeling of sharing and learning. I'm the every time I teach, I'm the one who learns the most, you know, just by feedback, interaction, positive energy, connections, networking. And it takes you out of your office. You know, you cannot. Dentistry is a profession that you cannot be full-time there if you don't see the big picture, you know. The other thing that keeps the excitement is making it financially very, very nice. You know, that is, you know, money is not that important. Yes, money is so important. It's beautiful, even if you give the money away, you know, even if you do charity. But having the money coming in and having a business that is super profitable, it's beautiful to keep the excitement, you know, and really analyze your office as a business opportunity to bring new things in. You know, nowadays you have so much you can do in a dental office. You know, we usually talk about the orofacial store. You know, we need to think about a place that magic can happen and you can bring new topics in. You can interact with new professionals. For example, there's almost zero connection between dentists and plastic surgeons. You know, that's ridiculous. That's not acceptable in the 21st century, you know. Right. So many beautiful things that can keep you excited about our profession when you start interacting with specialties that, you know, chiropractic, we work a lot, you know, orthognathic surgeon, orthopedics, people that are working with the whole body. Now, what we do, what we call dentistry, it's probably 10% of dentistry, you know, the relationship between dentistry and the whole body. The relationship between dentistry and the systemic issues, you know, whole body equilibration, you know, things that we cannot imagine, the sleeping quality, these are explored 10% of what it could be explored. If you get into any of these topics, you're going to be excited for the next 5 years, for sure. You're going to be passionate about it and you're going to be at the top of your game, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about it, there are so many healthcare professionals that consider dentists are really the future of healthcare in the world, because most of all illnesses, if you get into an inflammation discussion or disease, this is the gateway for 70% of the health of the rest of the body. Yeah. And nobody spends that much time with another human being than a dentist does.
That's it. That's it. You know, it's the entrance of everything that is good and everything that is bad. And you can identify so much if you really explore this new world of systemic, holistic, global diagnosis. So as I usually say, you know, in dentistry, you are specializing so much. And the cool guys in dentistry are either the super perio specialist, super ortho specialist, super implant specialist, you know, super prostodontist. This is just the tip of the iceberg, the concept of the super general practitioner. That's the future of dentistry. Dentists that understand the holistic vision of a whole body. Because when I go to a dentist, I want to go first to this holistic general dentist, the quarterback. So you have the regular general dentist here, and then you have the specialists that are known as a better professional here. But above them, in my opinion, you have the super general practitioner. Is the quarterback, is the guy that goes beyond the teeth, is the guy that understands the links, is the guy that makes the connections with all the specialties beyond dentistry as well, you know. And this is going to change our business as well. And the model that we have in US is different than you have in Brazil and Europe. In Brazil and Europe, you usually have clinics that you do everything in the same clinic. In US, you have this concept of the specialist and referring dentists, you know. So you have general practitioners doing this work and they refer to the specialist. Mm-hmm. In my humble opinion, and in the opinion of some very important business people in dentistry, this model is going to disappear. You know, I know that maybe some study clubs will get angry with this, with me saying this. You know, some study clubs are based on this referring business model. In my opinion, this is going to disappear. It's already disappearing with DSOs, because DSOs, when they buy a clinic, they don't want to lose the money of the orthodontics. Why are you going to do the implants there? You know, patients, they want the experience of going to one place and getting the problem solved. So you're going to see general practitioners with good business vision taking over and making a lot of specialists very pissed, but they will not care because the business is going to be there. And then you're going to see specialists with business vision understanding that they're going to make the jump in terms of not depending on referrals, and they will start doing the whole thing happening right there, because that's the modern experience for clients. It's going to one place that has the oral facial global holistic body vision and will treat you as a person and will treat you as a whole.
Right. Right. Now, the important thing you're saying, you know, this is always a great hot topic. It's a very controversial topic about where the future of dentistry going. But, you know, what you're talking about is somebody understanding the whole system. It's not that you have to do every single thing under the sun.
No.
That's a formula for disaster itself. But really, Kevin, it's called a deeper understanding. And I think what you're referring to is just the future of dentistry being authentically curious about how we keep this whole patient healthy, not just a tooth here or a fracture here.
I mean, we need to be inspired by the most modern health clinics. You know, in the U.S., you have a couple of very well-known centers where people from all over the world they go, and you don't have one doctor doing everything. You have very good general clinicians that will make the first interview and the first anamnesis and the first exam. And these guys are the ones that really can have the vision, and then they will activate they're specialists. They are working under the same roof to treat you the best way possible. You know, physicians, they don't, you know, you don't go here. Then they send you these modern clinics. And this is the modern model. You know, these modern clinics, you go there because you're not feeling good. You don't know exactly what's going on. You know, patients in dental offices, they don't walk into our office written in their front head, I'm a perio case, I'm an ortho case, I need two implants and six veneers, I have an orthognatic issue, my problem is right here and it's connected to my bite there. You know, so that's the most difficult part of dentistry. It's to look at somebody and have this vision and understand what's going on before you walk into their mouth and you start destroying things in their mouth, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's the way that things will happen.
What else do you see in the future of dentistry? Because you're out there. Now, I'm going to ask you a somewhat controversial question, too, because you talked about dental offices in the United States. That is very funny because I could do the same thing. I go, oh, that's a dental office. Well, how's it different in Europe or Brazil? Because for a dentist that's watching this, maybe in the United States, they don't understand that. Yeah. How is it different in other parts of the world? Can you answer that?
I think that in Europe and mainly in Brazil, the clinics, they look better, much better.
How so?
For different reasons, I can explain. In Europe, the big cities, the cool cities, people are just more into design naturally. People have a better taste for things naturally, you know? So it was a natural move to start designing offices in a more a nicer way, you know, to look better. Brazil, it's a very aesthetically driven country. People are very visual in general. Dentists are very artistic naturally. That's why aesthetic dentistry in Brazil is known as one of the best, if not the best in the world. But also because competition here in Brazil is so big. You know that Brazil it's the number one country in number of dentists in the world. So we have 240,000 dentists. We have, I don't know, almost double as US, and we have almost half as the population.
Why is that? What's your hypothesis on that?
Dentistry was a great, good profession on the 70s and 80s. And then for political reasons, the government allowed every businessman to open a dental office, you know? So corruption and politicians, in Brazil, we have 230 dental schools.
Wow.
230 dental schools. Yeah, only in São Paulo, the city of São Paulo, I think it's 14. City of São Paulo, 14. State of São Paulo, I don't know, like 30, like 40 dental schools. So that's why. So in Brazil, you have the top dentist and you have the worst as well. You know, everything happens in Brazil. But when you get to the top, competition is so high that you need to create a unique experience. So clinics, for example, in São Paulo, you walk into the clinics here, they look like six-star hotels. You know, they are like super cool. They have amazing music going on, you know, amazing atmosphere. They have services as massage, as a coffee shop, as a smoothies, and everything needs to look very cool. Otherwise, people will just walk away, you know? So I tell usually on my courses in US, I say, look, you guys are in the comfort zone here. You've been successful forever with this clinic, you know? And I tell this without any problem. I make fun of it and everybody laugh, you know, because they know it's true.
They know,
Even my good friends, you know, very successful dentists, you know, I walk into their office and say, what? the hell is this? You know, and they say, ah, I don't care. You know, I'm doing good business. I'm doing okay money. I'm fine. You know, of course that everything is going to change very fast, mainly because of the DSOs, you know, the chains of clinics, because they're going to come with this business vision, with this marketing vision. They're going to start investing money on the only thing that can make them different from the good dentists in town or in the neighborhood, you know. So this is going to start putting pressure on dentists to make the whole experience again become different.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to what you said earlier. When you have a younger dentist who's eager, that wants to absorb the information and is willing to implement it, those are the people that are going to do well. Because very few dentists ever really go out of business. It's the people that struggle in the business that often find the least or lowest levels of happiness. Now, there's other things. Like, I took a ton of notes here. You talked about teaching. Now, I want to go back to that, because really reinventing yourself, like we were talking in the beginning, you can reinvent yourself when you choose to teach. Now, it's not necessarily grabbing a computer and doing a PowerPoint. When I got started in this industry, there were things called preceptorships, where you'd see a, you know, a well-established dentist. He or she would invite a bunch of other dentists over to their office, maybe on Thursday, to talk about cases. Yeah. Because when you do teach, you know, you're getting it in the tissues, you're getting in, it's your brain is fully engaged, you're sharing. Because as human beings, we're not designed to reach our potential by ourselves. We need the help of other human beings in order for us to even touch our potential. And that's what you're doing, is you're putting people together and you're encouraging. I think at the very least, people have to get out and at least share, you know, at least communicate, because you're going to become better in your ability to teach.
Yeah, it's synergy, it's synchronicity. You feel the energy flowing when you're trying to share, and things just start to happen. You know, that's the beauty. That's the beauty of study clubs, and this is something very good about US. That the concept of study clubs is very strong there, because once a month, if you're a good dentist, you are part of a study club. You know, and you go there once a month and you just share, and that keeps the energy moving, keeps things flowing. So I think this concept is great. You know, now we're going to see more. There's a lot of things online going on, but this will never substitute the real interaction, live in-person interaction. You know, meetings, for example, conferences are shrinking all over the world. First, because there's so many conferences all over. Second, because the speakers are always the same. The topics are always the same. People are realizing that they're learning very little, making a big investment. So the only thing left about conferences, and the only reason I go to some few conferences, the ones that I'm not lecturing, very few that I actually go, you know, like, for example, Seattle Study Club is one of the very few ones that I actually go, regardless if I'm teaching or not, because it's this exchange of energy and because you have this networking factor. So I think that the future of dental conferences should be much more on promoting networking and interactions than actually having those boring lectures going over and over that people usually don't even want to listen, you know?
Yeah, and I would completely piggyback on that, because I'll never miss a Seattle Study Club symposium for the rest of my life. It's not for the information. It's the level of hugs and intimacy. I mean, you don't shake people's hands there. You hug all day.
Yes, and, Latin style.
Yeah, Latin style. Yeah, so it's powerful. And I think that's a huge piece of the future dentistry. Christian, I have so many questions. We're going to do several of these, but what else do you see in the future? When you look at the 21st century, what do you see for the dentist coming up into the profession?
So as I mentioned already, these multidisciplinary, interdisciplinary, as we call transdisciplinary clinics, with these super general clinicians that will be these experts in diagnosis, full body diagnosis. The other tendency is the full experience of the patient that we already mentioned, as well as something that they, a place that they want to go back for real, and everything that is part of this experience, from the coffee, the sparkling water, the smoothie, the massage, the music, the lighting, the staff, the layout, everything makes an experience that you want to go back. And of course, the third thing is digital. Digital is going to, it's already a reality. It's still not a reality the way we see it should be. It is a learning curve, but technology is already there. Technology is ready. As I usually say, technology is ready. Are we ready to use technology? You know, so it's a transition into it. The business pressure will make people go through this path, because if you start implementing real digital workflows, and I say real because most of the people that say I'm digital, they are just scratching the surface of digital. They buy a scanner, they say I'm digital. They do a case with CAD/CAM, say I'm digital. That's not what we envision as digital. Digital means full solutions utilizing the digital workflow that can really change the process of treating the patient, bringing three aspects, allowing you through digital workflows to do something with more quality in less time for less money,
right,
or with more profit.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to combine these three things always. Every little equipment, every technology you buy, you need to make the what I call the reality test. What is the reality test? Look at this piece of equipment and try to see how you're going to make this equipment help you to do better quality for in less time, spending less money, more profitable.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And we're going to do another one of these because I would love for you to share the workflow process, because it's brilliant what you teach. And if you wouldn't mind, I'm sure a lot of people watching, they're like, what is a workflow? Because everyone loves the concept of systems. Systems create high levels of predictability. And I often argue, Christian, I think that's the one thing dentists need the most to be happy is just high levels of predictability. And digital offers that nowadays in a way that we couldn't have that years ago.
Definitely. I think you touch on a very, very important point. You know, when people say, why should I engage with digital? Why should I bring digital to my office? You know, I'm doing okay with what I'm doing. There's a couple of things that digital will completely transform the way you do dentistry for better. You know, one of the main things is allowing you to be more predictable, and that changes the business completely. That changes something that I learned very recently, you know, and this is funny. I don't know if you agree with me, but dentists are usually very concerned with how many new patients they're getting. And they usually measure their success on the amount of new patients coming in. You know,
I
think it's a much healthier analysis if we can analyze how many cases we are finishing, how many patients are walking out with the treatment done, and not how many patients are walking in. Mainly in US, where most of the clinicians are doing okay with new patients coming in since the last 10 years, and they have a decent amount of new patients coming in, they don't realize that efficiency and profitability comes from the amount of appointments, the amount of time that you're spending to get that job done. You know, nobody talks about it. Nobody works on that direction. Companies are not exploring that their equipment is actually helping people to make this number better, you know? How many patients I finished this week? You know, that is the magic question that we need to talk about. And technology is the only way to make this magic happen. You know, it's not the only way, but it's the best tool to make this magic happen. If you really understand digital workflow, if you start talking to engineers, if you start talking with business people, if you start talking and learning from architects, you know, people that are living their whole professional life creating projects, doing quality control, creating systems, creating workflows, creating protocols, so they get to the end on the shortest period of time possible, spending the less amount of time and money and getting the biggest amount of profits. So we need to start hanging out more with these guys, you know, and I usually make fun that the dentists don't like to treat engineers, you know,
because
engineers, they make the tough questions, you know, they corner us.
Right.
Because they make the questions that we don't have answers. So how many appointments do you really need? What are the chances that this can go wrong? What is the literature saying about the percentage of success rate on each one of these procedures? You know, how did you test these protocols? You know, how is the implementation of this workflow? What are you going to do in my mouth? You know, and we are just like, can you please just shut up and open your mouth and let me treat you, you know?
Right.
Let me do my job, you know? But what is interesting to see in dentistry is that you have, you know, a dentist is like an architect that develops a blueprint for you. He convinces you to buy this blueprint, this template, this maquette. And then he builds your house. And at the end, the house is completely different than the blueprint.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the house is much beautiful, much more beautiful than the blueprint. Maybe the house has extremely high quality, but this is not my point here. How can we dentists from the 21st century accept to do things in a way that we present a project and we finish in a completely different way. And bringing this to reality for dentists to understand is comparing the final outcome of your full mouth rehabilitation with the initial diagnostic wax up that you did 2 years ago when you sold that treatment to the patient. And you put those models together, they have nothing to do with each other, even in the best clinics in the world.
Yes.
Absolutely nothing to each other. Now, how can you explain this to an engineer?
Can't.
You can't explain. And now the engineer is going to come out and tell us, do you know that there is technology out there that you can use to control this process? You know? So yeah. This is the main thing. When I mentioned 21st century dentistry, the main difference between the real 21st century dentist is that this new dentist will understand technology and will start to be able to tell his patients, my dear patient, maybe I'm not the most famous dentist in my city. Maybe I'm not the most skilled dentist in my city, but I do have the technology, the workflows and the quality control to present you a project, a prototype today, and guarantee that after 6 months, 1 year, 1 year and a half, we're going to finish your treatment and these two things will look alike a lot. And if we tell these stories to patients, patients will come in and multiply and share this story and tell about it. By itself is the best marketing strategy ever.
This is brilliant. I think what you just said in the last 4 minutes is the future. It is completely the future. Here's why. Okay, here's the deal. You're going to develop the passion meter, okay? Mm-hmm. I'll actually develop a tool that'll show dentists how many cases that, or how many patients come in and how many finish them. And I think I'll create some chest pain.
If we create a strategy to teach dentists to create implementation and efficiency protocols and workflows to make this number a better number of how many patients come in, how many patients go out, we have something, you know?
We have something. Yeah, it'll be tremendous. Now, I'm sure you're familiar with the process. I know several engineers and concepts behind Six Sigma, you know, ultimately creating a better process. And what these people do is they spend their whole life developing processes, optimizing them. So they have very little defect and even small defect because they want to find predictability at the highest level so that the promise equals the conclusion, which is, it would be amazing. Here would be another great way. I want to do this.
You know that the funny thing is that the people are hiring consultants for dental offices, and consultants don't have a clue about these things. So, right. So they're talking about marketing strategies. They're talking about how, you know, and I'm looking at this and saying, look, just focus on what really matters, you know, make a priority list and put at the top of this list what really makes the biggest difference with the last effort. You know, people say there's too many things to change. I there's no way I can become a perfect clinic. Nobody's right. going to become a perfect clinic. You need to understand how to identify your issues, how to create a priority list, and understand that priority list means putting at the top the things that you can fix with the less effort that will get the biggest impact, you know? And this also brings us to digital workflow, talking to people that are implementing systems in big companies. You know, these guys, that's all they do. It's all about getting that extra 0.01%. In dentistry, it's so easy because the margins are so big that anything you do on this direction, you're going to stand out. You're going to be completely out of the curve. On the positive side, you know.
Right. And what you're talking about, a mutual friend, Dr. John Coyce, he made me read the book Checklist Manifesto, which is all about optimal processes. And he said this is pretty good. There's over 5,000 commercial airliners in the air at one time over the United States. I couldn't even imagine how many are over the world. And if you had a 1% failure rate, do you know how many plane crashes we would have per day? With just a 1% failure rate. So the whole idea of designing processes and systems that create a work, you use the word workflow and quality control, ultimately makes the experience for you better, the patient better, and the restorative outcomes just better. Yeah. I would love to do a whole show on with you on models before and models at the end. That would freak all of us out, I think.
That's a great story, and that's the reality, you know. I love this story, this little story from Coy. I saw him telling this story as well on one of the courses. I was there watching him, and that's the conclusion, you know. Thank God that the airline industry doesn't follow the dental protocols and workflows, you know, because I'm traveling all over the world and I'm looking at these planes and say, thank God, you know, these guys know how to minimize errors. You know, we as dentists, we are not doing a great job on this, and we should definitely understand that patients deserve better in terms of predictability. It's not only about, and the beauty is that patients will start walking back and asking for that, you know. That's why we work so much nowadays with the initial mockups. And the first question patients are asking now is, what is the guarantee that this is going to be the way I'm going to look at the end? And patients, they are so scared about this. Oh, this is a liability. This, if I put this in their mouth, I'm going to be scared, because they know how not predictable they are. You know, we need to take control of the process so we can feel confident to start saying these things to the patient. Utilizing this technology, we can have a very interesting percentage of predictability, and things can look alike. Things can look alike.
I love it. I love it. Buddy, I am so grateful that you would join us. I know you've got a lot going on. I know you got a new baby. And tell your wife, thank you so much for carving out some time for us.
Pleasure.
I have so many more that I want to do with you on the workflow, other concepts. But here's what I'm going to say. If you're watching this right now, you have to get Christian's magazine. It is fantastic. Please tell them about the magazine. Tell us the heart and soul behind your magazine. What is it?
You know, coming from a third world country, even though we have an amazing life here, we are part of the population that has an amazing life, we are exposed to reality here every single day, you know, in a completely different way, you know. And I always think it's funny when people in U.S. say, you know, U.S. is a mess, you know, we have corruption, we have problems. They say, look, you don't know what is being in the mess, you know, in the middle of the mess. So no, U.S. is not a mess. U.S. is an amazing, unbelievable country. And everywhere I go, it's just unbelievable how a huge country can have that kind of quality standard every little corner that you go, you know. And people are just having an amazing life everywhere. Even people that think that they're having a bad life, they have an amazing life over there. So with this experience coming from a third world country, we realize that many, many people are so far away of being exposed to this kind of knowledge and this kind of information. You know, the DSD course program is expensive. It's an expensive course, you know. Going to the Seattle Study Club annual symposium, it's extremely expensive. Normal dentists are not even allowed on these events, you know. So for me, I always try to see ways of sharing the knowledge to people that have no way of getting to where we are. So the DSD magazine is part of this project where we're going to share online, free completely, in a very, very cool way, very important information for everybody. So we are focusing students, you know, young dentists, people from countries in the middle of nowhere, you know, if you imagine the countryside of India, you know, the guys there, Facebook is amazing because I get messages from these guys and they say, yeah, what can I do? You know, I'm here in the middle of nowhere. How can I get this? How can I get exposed to this? You know, so we need the people that have an amazing life, the people that have amazing opportunities. We need to every single day think about ways of sharing this information and helping people that cannot do this, cannot be exposed. So I really hope that the thing is that the magazine, the quality of the magazine is so good, and we are so proud of it that even the top dentists actually, I want your help to share this. Yep. To the dentists that are not exposed to our world, because our world of dentists, everybody already saw the magazine, and the response is just amazing. The mm-hmm. content there is very, very cool, and explaining things in a completely different way. So I really invite people to take a look. The layout is completely different. It doesn't look like a dental journal. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like a dental thing. And that's the idea, yeah, to be very cool, to be very educational, and to bring useful information.
Yeah. If you haven't seen it, we'll put a link in the show notes here on the side. Just get it. It is free. Like, it doesn't get any easier than that.
Not even you don't even need to log in. You just.
Yeah. Just look at it. Go and get it and just click on it. It is awesome. And then also DSD courses. So if I'm a dentist and I want to get involved with DSD courses, go to the link. And then where do I start?
If you go to the digitalsmiledesign.com website. Okay. You're going to see there the areas, but it's very clear. You click on DSD Education, and on the DSD Education page, you're going to see the path starting from DSD Day, all the cities in the world where we are giving the DSD Day, and then the DSD Residency Full Program, and then the extra courses, specific immersion courses that we give on specific topics. Everything is in one page there.
That's awesome. Don't hesitate. Go to it now. And if you haven't seen Dr. Christian Coachman speak, you have to see this guy speak. He is a genius. And I really consider you one of the best, most inspirational, important influencers of this incredible profession. So thank you for joining us. I'm crazy grateful. So
Kirk, thank you. Thank you very much. It was an amazing experience. It's always for me exciting to share these ideas. And I believe we should really get in touch and talk about how we can create something that can happen over and over again. You know, I think there's many ideas that we can share, and through your channel, we can reach out to people that and numbers that we cannot even imagine, you know.
Amen, buddy. And you're going to have to show me how to use Instagram, because I have no idea. I have no idea what I'm doing, but we're having fun.
We can focus on Facebook. That's fine.
Sounds good, buddy. So again, if you're watching this, please, even if you're watching this after the live broadcast, please enter your comments on the side. I'm going to ask Dr. Coachman to respond to your comments, because I know you might have questions as you're watching this. So please, he's awesome at responding, and he'll give a very thoughtful response. So thank you. Thank you, buddy. I really appreciate it.
For sure.